right, 8 minutes gone past the hour of five. I am Kalada Kurubatabo, and you're listening to Ad Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. And yet again, it's time for us to switch the conversation. We've moved from the PDP Guba candidate, and now we will be looking at a statement made by the Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Sokoto, Matthew Hassan Kuka. And it's a very interesting conversation, I must say, because when you look at it, and you look at it from a non-partisan perspective, you want to think, could they be an atom of truth to what he has said? An iota of truth to what he has said? And what has he said? Now, yesterday, speaking on Channels Television in a broadcast aired on Sunday, I already mentioned that, sorry, Matthew Kuka said that there is no Nigerian head of state or president. I mean, going back to military, going back to the prime minister era, I mean, the various presidents that we've had since 1960 that has entered that position, the office of the president, prepared to be president or head of state, whichever the case. But my focus is from 1999 up until now. You know, in 1999, we got democracy back. We said no to military rule, and we got democracy back. And for a period of time, many people felt that if we do not take time, or we're not careful enough, we're not meticulous enough, we might fall back into the hands of the military. But somehow, we have transitioned from one democratic government to another, and now, in a few days' time, Saturday to be precise, there will be another presidential election in the Federal Republic of Nigeria. We might be seeing one of your preferred candidates. I don't know which one, but eventually there will be a winner. Eventually, after the elections on Saturday. Which then makes the comment by Hassan Kuka very, very interesting and necessary for a conversation. If we say that the past leaders have not been prepared, are the future leaders prepared to rule or to lead, as the case may be? If we say the past leaders were not prepared, it also means that the followers, you, your father, your father's father, were not good followers. That's what it means. Because there is no leadership without followers. For you to be a leader, you have to have a follower. So at this point, I will introduce my guest. He's a lecturer, Department of International Relations, Admiralty University of Nigeria. I'm talking about Dr. Prince Eze. Good evening to you.
Good evening, sir, and thank you for having me.
All right. So you had my introductory speech, and I was saying, for us to know what the future holds, we need to have a bit of knowledge about the past. Hassan Kuka says, from 1999 up until now, from Obasanjo to Yar'Adua to Jonathan to the current President Buhari, none of them were prepared for the office. None of them entered office prepared. He said Obasanjo became president from the prison. And then, of course, Yar'Adua, according to him, you know, was taken there as well. Same with Jonathan. Jonathan became president because of the death of the former president Yar'Adua. And then, according to Hassan Kuka, Buhari became president even after he said he was tired and he was retiring to his community. And some people formed an alliance and forced him to become president, according to the statement of Kuka. So let's get to you. What do you think? Do you agree to this, or do you think otherwise?
Okay, thank you so much. I think given the nature and the character of the Nigerian state, I have reasons, very strong reasons, to agree with that assertion up to 90 or 95%. You are right that Nigeria since 1999 has witnessed administration to administration and party to party transition. We then begin to ask, despite this, why are some of our challenges or problems as a country, why has it not been solved? Problem of insecurity is still very high. There is problem of unemployment, poverty, everything is getting worse. And as such, one would be tempted to want to ask, what is actually happening to our recruitment process? And that is where the issue now comes to bear. If you have an organization, and such organization or company is not doing very well, you have reason to want to ask, how is those who work in that very organization, how have they been hired? What is the recruitment process? Did those who are hired in the organization, did they have vision? How did they hire them? Their level of competence will, to a long extent, determine if that particular organization is going to succeed. And so Nigeria has been going backward, and so we now begin to ask, what is happening to our recruitment process? What kind of people are we hiring to manage the affairs of the state? Who are we hiring as managers of the state? And that is why he has made that statement, because all of those that we have hired over time to manage the affairs of the Nigerian state has been there to protect the interests of a particular group of people, a particular group of persons, a particular ethnic group, and all of that. And that has contributed why we continue to go backward instead of moving forward. As it stands, the Nigerian state is privatized by some power holders who see Nigeria as a mix of production, or who see Nigeria as their own personal estate. What we have seen over the years is that those who are qualified are not hired. And the map is also contribute to this. The elite, they look for those who will be able to protect their own interests. They hire these people at the expense of the Nigerian people. Just as he mentioned, in 1999, Obasanjo was in prison and he was hired. As he was hired, he was protecting first and foremost the interests of the particular group or section that hired him. After then, we have before then there were indications that he had very serious illness, but he was still hired. Knowing that he had very terrible medical history, he was hired to manage Nigeria. And we all know what happened at the end of the day. After that time, they caught another person who will be able to protect the interest of the ruling class. So this has been happening over the years. We've not really had the opportunity to hire someone who will be able to manage Nigeria so well. And I am saying this, we are not just going to blame only the elite, but also the followers. What usually happens at the day of the election? People collect money, people vote based on party interest, people vote based on region, and not based on competence. They don't vote based on meritocracy. And so at the end of the day, you'll find that there is something fundamentally wrong with our recruitment process. We hire and we recruit people to manage the state, people without vision, people who are there to protect personal interests, people who are there for personal aggrandizement, who see their call for national service as a buccaneering expedition for personal aggrandizement, personal enrichment, and personal group protection. So I will agree with him. 95%, he is right. Without assertion.
All right. Now, when you say certain people hired these past presidents, I was of the opinion that, you know, the government is of the people, by the people, and for the people. That means the government was elected by the people. So what are the people? I mean, and when I say the people, I'm talking of the entirety of Nigerians. So what set of people are you then talking about?
Like I mentioned earlier, in Nigeria, we have the ruling class.
All right.
We have the elite.
All right.
We know that democracy is a game of numbers. But What we see as public policies is most times the wishes and the preferences of these elites. And of course, these elites are very few persons in the society. They go the extra mile, like I mentioned earlier, in previous elections, we have instances and cases where people were bought over by these elites. Even at the polling unit, people were giving money to vote against their conscience, to vote for incompetence, instead of voting based on meritocracy. And you see during the campaignary process, during the electionary, the campaignary process, you've seen people have been made to want to vote based on region, based on party affiliation, but that is not how it's supposed to be. It really surprises me in Nigeria that to manage a small organization, if you want to apply to work in a small organization in Nigeria, in civil service or elsewhere, they will want the best person that has the best capacity. But when it comes to hiring someone who will occupy the higher position of the land, people don't put all of these into beer. They want to settle down for somebody based on region. They want to settle down to vote a person because they have collected some peanuts, they have collected some money, they have been bribed. So both the ruling class and the masses are contributing to the failure that we have in our recruitment process.
All right. So now, if both the elites, the political elites to be precise, and the masses are contributing to the failure, and by the way, many people have argued that poor leadership is why Nigeria is in its current situation, you know, poor infrastructure, you know, a lot of issues that we all know. Now, if we know the problem, are we becoming more politically aware? That's the next question I want to ask. Are we becoming more politically conscious to ensure that the people we hire into the presidency, for instance, or the office of the governor are qualified and prepared?
Yes. I think this time around, the consciousness is really very high. If you go by what happened during the voters' registration, since 1999, according to INEC, we had the highest number of persons who registered to vote for the very first time in this 2023 election. We have a number of persons who indicated interest to vote. And that's because people are becoming more aware on the need to hire someone who is competent to be able to manage the affairs of the Nigerian state. You know, just like the example I gave earlier, if you have a company or if you have an organization, and that organization is not moving forward, a lot of things are happening in that particular organization, what do? In your recruitment process, leadership recruitment process, you recruit someone who will be competent to be able to manage the affairs of that particular company. All that right. is the only way such company will be able to progress. And so the only option before us, particularly as we go out on Saturday to vote, is to vote for a person who has the capacity. What Nigeria needs at present is a deliverer. Nigeria needs someone who will be able to bring the dividend of democracy to us. Nigeria needs someone who will be able to turn things around. As to speak, you already know Nigeria is the poverty capital of the world. As to speak, Nigeria has been rated as the third most dangerous place to live on planet Earth. As to also speak, you know Nigeria is top in the list of most corrupt countries in the world.
Dr. Prince. Let me pause you there now. I mean, you're listing all of these things, and I guess people know these things as well. And you're saying, oh, a lot of people went to register and collected PVCs for the election. But does that translate to political consciousness and political awareness? I'm asking this because, like you know, earlier gave example, people need to understand a role or their roles in a particular institution or in a place where there is vacancy for them to be able to fill it, right? So do you think Nigerians understand the importance of voting in the right president, or people still vote, like you earlier said, still on political, tribal or whatever lines? Quickly, please.
Very well. I think, like I told you, one of the indications of that is that we had more persons who are registered. People are now more political conscious because look at what is happening in the country. Poverty is everywhere. Unemployment is everywhere. People are now very conscious to want to vote. And the only thing that will be able to change or make us not to get it right this time around is either if the election is being rigged or is being hijacked. And of course, you know that Nigerian people are ready to resist any form of rigging. People are now more conscious and ready to vote this time around. I was outside the other day and I saw a grandmother who was telling me that she wants to vote. Both the elderly, the young, the old, everybody is ready to vote this time around.
They want to vote, but does it mean they know who and why they should vote for that individual? That's the question I'm asking. I mean, a lot of people are saying, oh, there is hunger in the land, there is this problem, there's that problem. Some of these problems have been there since even 1960. But then again, do they really? I mean, it's one thing to want to vote, and you should know that there is the crowd mentality sometimes. But do they know why and, you know, who they should vote for? That's the political consciousness I'm talking about.
I think they know. The only thing that we want to stop them is if there is manipulation. People can tell you that this is why, this time around, people are ready to justify why they think people are qualified. That does not mean that there are no cases where people are still being convinced to vote based on tribalism and all of that, sentiments and all of that. And of course, there's even no money to share this time around. Everybody is looking for money. So people are really going to vote their conscience. That is what I think. I think the level of political consciousness is high this time around compared to the previous elections that we have. But let's not be quick to judge. Let's see how it turns out on Saturday. But I can assure you that the majority of Nigerians are ready this time around to vote.
I would have to pause you now because we have to go for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to 99.3 Nigeria FM.
All right, welcome back. If you're just joining us, you're listening to Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigerian Info. I am Kala Dakarubatubo, and I have my guest, a lecturer of international relations, Dr. Prince Eze. Dr. Prince Eze is on the line, and we have been talking, how prepared do you think the current presidential candidates are, given the fact that Matthew Kuka says the past president, none of them entered into the office of the president prepared. And possibly, it might be true. Possibly, I said. And if that is true, then it means that the current situation that we are facing is as a result of years of presidents who were not prepared to be president. All right. Welcome back on the show, Dr. Prince Eze.
Thank you.
All right, so before we went on that long break, I was asking you the question, or I asked you the question, do you think the, you know, majority of people going to collect PVCs and wanting to be a part of the electoral process translates to mean that they now know that a good man has to be there? Or is it that they are just trying to flex their muscle, political muscle, so that their preferred candidate, which might be out of some sentimental value, becomes president?
Well, we all know that politics is a game of interest. All about interest. You know, people get involved in politics because they have interests that they need to protect. Mm. But this time around, the point being made is that this time around, there is this high consciousness on the need to first and foremost look at the general interest. What is that general interest? That Nigeria needs a deliverer, as the Nigeria is at the verge of collapse. And we've seen this play out clearly. Are there people who are in other party, who are in party A, who have said this time around they will not vote for president, member of their party, but rather they will go to another party to vote? I've heard that severally this time around, without mentioning any particular party. You know, that goes to show that the consciousness is actually high this time around. I've seen instances, and we've also heard where people who say, for governorship, we are going to vote this person from our party, but for president, we are not going to vote this person from our party. We'll vote so person from our party. I think the consciousness is actually high this time around on the need to first and foremost look at the general interest as it concerns who becomes the president of Nigeria. Look at the general interest before our own personal interest, because we cannot actually rule out
these personal interests from politics.
All
but
right.
Like I said, this time around, there's need to consider the general interest first before the personal interest. And we'll see this clearly being played out. And we hope that this is what's going to happen in on Saturday during the voting. You will see members of parties leaving their political party to go and vote candidates who they think will be able to bring salvage Nigeria from other party. I think that's what is going to play out from what we have seen happen over time. In this current situation.
Right. Okay, so now the next question then is, because we agreed, you and I, that for there to be leaders, then there must be followers, and for there to be followers, there must be leaders. So if the people who are the followers now are politically conscious, like you've put it, are the leaders, which is our topic now, the people vying for, especially the office of the president, are they prepared? Are they now politically conscious that it's no longer business as usual, where you go into that office and you're not delivering the dividends of democracy? Are they now prepared to do? And when I say prepared, it's not just coming out with very quality manifestos, because sometimes we can tell the problem in an articulate manner. But I'm saying, do they know how to ensure that when they become president, they turn things around and for the better?
Yeah, if you ask me, I would say yes and no.
Okay.
If you watch what has been happening, you'll find out that among those who are vying for the number one position in the land, the president, office of the president, you still find out that some of them, when you ask them questions, the way they respond to issues, if you ask them about what they will do and all of that, you find out that some of them find it difficult even want to explain what is happening in the country and what they can be able to do to turn things around.
Mm.
We also see that some persons are being projected by some, you know, so to say, cabal or some interest group. Because one of the unfortunate things that has happened to our democracy is that since 1999 is that we ended up having very strong and powerful individuals instead of very strong institutions. So we have a situation where some individuals in quotes, are more powerful than the institutions. And so we see these individuals trying to see how to capture the state in the next election. As you already know, that Nigeria is a privatized state. It has been privatized by some power holders who think that Nigeria is their own personal estate, who want to continue to produce those who will continuously protect their interests. So we have those type of people. If you listen to the president, those who are contesting for that position, you have people who we think are capable and competent. We also have people who might not be able to deliver the dividend of democracy. So it is not our choice to make, and as people have said, the decision before us on Saturday is to choose either to go forward or to go backward.
Now,
between freedom and slavery.
Doctor Prince Eze, I don't know, does competence in this political scenario or this situation we're talking about, does competence translate to being prepared? Because it's one thing to know, it's another thing to get there and do or apply what you know. Yet again, when you look at Nigeria's problems, they are multidimensional. So you can look at it from outside Astro Rock and say, you do it like this, do it like that. But when you get there, you realize that you're being restrained by the constitution, by the political structure and all of that stuff. Even people who know that what you're doing is right but will try to still stop you. So when you look at it from that angle, do you think competence as a presidential candidate translate to a prepared president?
Yes, first and foremost, I agree with you that there's a disconnect between theory and practice. It's one thing to be competent, is another thing for you to bring that competency into bear. Just as a wise man said that, for example, when you are in school, you do mathematics. You know, but when you graduate, you're going to do life mathematics. you'll be faced with realities. You know, for someone who is competent, that's the difference between an intellectual and someone who is intelligent. You know, intellectualism has to do with, you know, theory, interpretations, and all of that. But an intelligent person is an originator of thought. Someone who has problem-solving skill, who will be able to solve problems, you know, not based on theories, but from realities, issues that are on ground, are able to face issues and provide solutions to challenges. Now, when we are talking about competence in this context, we're talking about someone who has the experience, someone who has the charisma, someone who has the capacity, someone who has the reliability, someone who has all of those potential that we need in a good leader to be able to turn things around in Nigeria. Someone who can be able to bridge the gap between theory and practice. Someone who has the political will, just as you mentioned, you might have the best intention, but implementation. Someone who can have the political will to be able to drive policies and to be able to drive the administration so as to bring the dividend of democracy. That is what we look out for. Someone who has that competence, someone who has that experience, someone who has that skill, someone who can be able to bridge that gap. And of course, if you have been listening to these people, and if you check what they have done in the past, in doing this, it's also important that we check if these people have what it takes to be able to deliver or not. For example, we look at their head, you look at qualification all the way around, what they have done in the past, what we think they can do presently. When we check all of these, will be able to take very informed decisions. And I can tell you, among those who are contesting, there are persons who are competent. There are also those who are not.
All right.
The choice before us is to choose the most person who we think that is qualified. Like I said, what Nigeria needs at this particular point in time is a deliverer, because Nigeria is at the verge of collapse. And so it is time for us not to vote based on party line, not based on tribalism, not based on personal interest, but on general interest. Someone who can be able to salvage Nigeria and take Nigeria to another level.
Someone is asking on WhatsApp, who are these people? But we'll skip that question and then go. Good evening, presenter. I agree with the analogy of Reverend Father Matthew Asenkuka that up till now, no Nigerian ruler came to power prepared, but every one of them had entered office out of emergency or doctrine of necessity. President Buhari was not able to hit the ground running. But I can assure us that the present aspirants or candidates of the three or maybe four of the major parties are better prepared than in the past. Barry Johnson with that one. Another message on WhatsApp says, Reverend Kuka and Professor Eze are not correct. They are using this past president's performance as basis for their assertion. Let them tell us who among the candidates are prepared this time around. Not after 4 years, they will say they are not prepared if they fail. And another one says, good evening, Canada. Please ask your guest, which instrument is he using to measure competence and preparedness? Sam from Ikruta. Maybe you want to answer the last question.
Yes. You know, like I said, when we are talking about competence in this particular context, where you want to hire someone in an organization, let's say you want to hire someone who will manage your company, what do you look out for? You look out for experience, the person's pedigree. Some organization will go as far as to check the level of the person's performance in his previous organization or task or test or previous role, what he has done previously. You also look out for if this person has the capacity, the training, the experience, if this person has integrity. All of these are what make up for competence in this particular context. We are not just talking about, this person has a PhD. No, it's beyond that. We're talking about integrity, it's part of it.
Right.
We're talking about political will, it's part of it.
All right, let's take some calls now because we're almost out of time. The number to call, 0700-923-0923, 0700-923-0923. For WhatsApp, text messages and Telegram messages, send them to 0809-030-6416. Remember, I have a lecturer of international relations, Admiralty University, you're with me via the phone line. And we're talking, how prepared do you think the presidential candidates are? So now over to you listening. How prepared? I mean, how? I don't want you to tell me about your preferred candidate, but how prepared do you think they are? You will be voting on Saturday, the 25th of February. How prepared do you think your candidates are? And how prepared are you? Because are you going to go to the polling unit just to vote because other people are voting? Are you going to vote because you're hungry and you want them to pay you? I mean, how prepared are you also to have a good president who is prepared to take Nigeria forward? Once again, 0700-923-0923. All right, I missed those calls. Please do call back and let's take your call. 0700-923-0923. Stop calling the WhatsApp number. I would not take it, right? I would not pick that call. 92.3, Nigerian Soul. Yeah, please turn off the radio set. It's noisy. All right, poor connections there. 92.3, another poor connection. I do not know what's happening to the phone line, but keep trying. 0700-923-0923. I tried this one. 92.3.
Hello, good evening, Flada.
This is Chima, right? Turn off your radio sets.
Yes, Obed Chima.
Obed Chima, welcome. Turn off your radio, please. I don't have to hear the squeaky sound.
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear now. Go ahead. Quickly.
Yes, Flada. I think Kuka is actually right. I think he may have major various sectors. The red counties from any leader that comes in terms of economy, security, and so on and so forth. Now, Kalada, if we watch the responses of most of the leaders who have emerged from the when Kuka said from that time, you will understand that the country is being governed by trials and error.
Mm.
You understand?
Mm.
Especially look at what is happening now that has thrown so many people, that has thrown to an existential crisis. This policy, you know, that is throwing an existential crisis, it was not a part of the blueprint that this administration came into it. But it just came up and put up the policy that has thrown Nigeria where we are today.
All right.
So I think Kuka must have looked into this thing, looked into security aspects, look into economy aspect and come up with this statement. So Nigeria indeed has been governed by trials and error. So when you look at it from various facets of the government, from local to the state, you can understand better. I think he's right. I go with him. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much for calling in. That's for what Kuka said. But you know, the question I'm asking is how prepared are the current, I mean, if you agree with Kuka, then how prepared do you think the current presidential candidates are? 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good evening, Kala.
Yes, what's your name?
Okay, so let me just go straight to
No, tell me your name first of all.
First of all, I need to agree with what.
No, tell me your name. Can you hear me?
101%. Then, two, currently, of the three major, I should have said four major presidential candidates, but maybe I should say three now because one, without disrespect to him, which is Kwankwaso, I genuinely don't see him again as a major contender because he has never even had a rally in southern Nigeria. So let's leave that one. Of the three, I think people who look as if they are prepared, is just maybe the PDP guy and the LP guy. Genuinely, then the person who is even putting in the work is purely the LP guy. The LP guy is written off because he doesn't even want to talk to you. He's not coming to debate. He's not coming for interviews. Nothing.
But he's going for rallies. Can you hear me?
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Okay. So, but you look at the work that the LP guy is putting in. It's an immense. Immense work. To any extent, anywhere, what is obtainable, even in advanced democracy. So he looks as if somebody who, to an extent, is eager to work, he's there to answer your questions, he's there to prefer the solutions, he's there to show empathy and all that. I genuinely wish this time around that we leave ethnicity, whatever, so much of ourselves and everything,
right,
and focus on saving this country from total collapse.
All right.
And give the man a chance.
All right, thank you very much. I've got to let you go there now. Thank you very much. Apparently, you couldn't hear me very well. 92.3 Nigeria Info.
Good evening,
Kara. Yeah, good evening. What's your name?
My name is Wisdom. I'm calling from Port Harcourt.
All right, Wisdom from Port Harcourt. Let's talk.
Yeah. I'm happy that this time around we are going to vote choice. And I know that the people that are coming to be the president has already prepared to be. But I'm begging the audience that they should keep the money in their pocket and forget about to share their rights. Because the reason why Esau remained where he is today is that he said it's right because of common food.
Mm.
So we are going to vote for our rights and a vote for the good governance of Nigeria.
All
thank
right.
you very much.
All right, thank you very much for your time there. Let's take this one. 92.3.
Hello, good evening.
Yeah, please do us the honors and turn off your radio set, please.
Good evening, Stanley is my name.
All right, Stanley, welcome.
Calling from Port Harcourt.
All right, Stanley from Port Harcourt, welcome.
Yes, this time around, I think the Nigerians are prepared to vote because I can notice that there are a lot of interest based on what we are going through right now. And as regards to the contestants, the four major contestants of the presidential election, I think I give them 50-50. Some are prepared, but some are contesting because they felt that there is something in the Asorok that they want to take, or they want to probably die with their name written that they were once the president of Nigeria. But some are prepared because they have seen the predicaments the Nigerians are going through, and they felt that they are in position to go and rescue Nigeria.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I've got to let you go. We are one for time, Dr. Prince Aze. So at this point, I would ask you to have your final words.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to use this opportunity to appeal to Nigerians. In the past years, we have instances where majority is registered to vote, but at the end of the day, they don't turn out to vote on the election day. This shouldn't be the narrative this time around. We must all go out on Saturday to vote, and to vote the person that we think is competent, to vote the person that we think will be able to take Nigeria to the promised land. We must perform civil responsibility. As we continue to say, provided you are within the jurisdiction of a state, you are being affected by political decision and political outcomes. So we must all get involved and vote the right person. Come Saturday election.
All right. Thank you very much. Before I let you go, let's read some WhatsApp messages together. This one says, I'm really prepared to vote for the candidate, and I know very well, I've been selling him to my fellow Nigerians. My preferred candidate has integrity and political will, and has assured us that he will hit the ground running. Okay, you called your preferred candidate, but I'm not going to do that for you on air. Barry Johnson, thank you very much for that one. This one says, most of our politicians think that politics is a Syria. I wonder what that means. Must think that positions are hereditary. They don't even think that life is... They don't think the life of the electorate is important. When should Nigerian politicians know the position is just a privilege and not a right? Onyenucheya Stephen. All right. This one says, dear presenter, good evening. Kindly ensure... Okay, Humphrey, thank you very much for that. I sometimes it's the network. But we've got to go now. Thank you very much, Dr. Prince Aze, for your time.
Thank you so much.
All right, then.